those who travel by air and sea, they are often relieved to get their feet on the solid ground. The earth is often referred to as terra firma, firm ground. We feel secure on the ground, happy to be down and out of the plane, or off the boat that has bounced up and down among the waves. But is the earth truly solid ground? Is it really terra firma? Earthquakes, they dominate the news reports on a seemingly increasing frequency. On the 12th of January 2010, Haiti, the poorest country in Latin America, was hit by a huge earthquake. The television screens brought the horror of it into all of our homes. 200,000 people lost their lives. That earthquake was followed by an even more powerful one in Chile. The loss of life was not so great as in Haiti, but the damage caused was great. It was devastating. On Tuesday, the 22nd of February this year, Christchurch, New Zealand's second largest city, was rocked by a 6.3 earthquake. It resulted in a scene of death and destruction. It has been described as New Zealand's darkest day. Upwards of 350 people perished amidst the rubble and the fires that followed. Japan in more recent times has suffered a devastating earthquake and many aftershocks. Earthquakes are not a new phenomenon. They are an inseparable part of world history. They are caused by a movement of the earth's crust. The crust of the earth is broken up into numerous tectonic plates. And when two of these plates rub together, the result is an earthquake. We cannot sit in judgment on any nation that has suffered such a calamity. We know at creation, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. It was a perfect world. Man, by his disobedience against God, he brought himself and the earth into a state of sin and calamity. The Lord said to Adam in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." And from the fall of man, the whole earth is cursed, and far from sitting in judgment of others, we can only say this evening that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Every earthquake is a somber reminder of the far-reaching effects of sin. Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, he says, "We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." That would not be so if Adam hadn't sinned. The Lord told the Pharisees in Luke chapter 19 and verse 40, that if the disciples should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And if there were no human vessels to preach the word of God today, earthquakes in various places around the world, they preach loudly. Oh, may you have ears to hear. May you face up to the problem of your sin, your need of the Savior, and build for eternity on the foundation of the gospel, on the foundation of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And as we consider earthquakes and their message, we want to look at four very significant earthquakes found in the scriptures. And the first one is associated with the revelation of the Lord at Mount Sinai. God's law, its precepts were given to Moses on Mount Sinai amid scenes of awe and majesty. We know that solemn preparation was made to receive God's law. The people were to sanctify themselves. They were to wash their clothes, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 10. They were to draw near to God with true hearts, with ears to hear and hearts to receive the royal law. And as for Mount Sinai itself, it was fenced around, prohibiting any of the people even to touch it with their hands. Verse 12 of Exodus 19. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There on Sinai the Lord came down in a thick cloud. And though the people could not see God, they saw enough to strike them with reverence and godly fear. And what awesome scenes there were. We read of them in verses 16 to 18 of Exodus chapter 19. There was thunder and lightning. There was the voice of the loud trumpet, the fire and the smoke. And then in verse 18 we are told that the whole mount quaked greatly. Earthquakes are associated with the revelation of the Lord at Mount Sinai. The psalmist recalled that in Psalm 68 and verse 8. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Oh, God's moral law was given to man amid scenes of unprecedented terror and solemnity. The majesty and the glory of God attended the giving of the commandments, and remember that they were written by the finger of God in stone, indicating the permanency of God's moral law, written in stone. God's moral law, it hasn't passed away. It still applies to your life unto mine. Society, the powers that be, trump underfoot God's law, which is holy, just, and good. They break the bands of God's law asunder. They cast its cords from them. By this holy law given amid fearsome sins is the knowledge of sin. In the Ten Commandments we have God's standard. But every one of us falls short of that divine standard. Sin, the Apostle John defines it as the transgression of God's law. The law of God is so perfect, and we are so sinful that we are in breach of it. As we discovered this morning, you cannot be justified by the works of the law. For it was by their supposed obedience to the moral law that the Pharisees looked for justification. We have the example in Luke chapter 18 and verse 11. You remember how the two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The verse 11 tells us that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Here is an individual who's striving to live by the moral law, trying to justify himself by his adherence to God's moral law. But it was the publican men and women who went home from the temple justified. He cried out, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." And before the commandments, every mouth is stopped, and all the world is guilty before God. You're among those who are guilty. All of us are guilty sinners, offenders, transgressors before a holy God. Oh, that truth would come home to your heart. So earthquakes are associated with the revelation of the Lord. They are also associated, secondly, with the crucifixion of the Lord. Moses at Sinai, he drew a solemn pledge from the people to the effect all that the Lord had spoken, we will do. Exodus 19, verse 8. That's how the people responded. They said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. But ever before Moses came down to the camp of Israel, those same people were singing and dancing, worshipping the golden calf, saying, "These be thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee out of Egypt." All the wickedness, the depravity, the darkness that is in the heart of man. But we go from Mount Sinai to Mount Calvary, and there we find the divine remedy for the degeneracy of mankind. The Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem us who were under the broken law. He fulfilled it. He kept it perfectly. It's every jot and tittle. There on Calvary he submitted himself to the penalty of the broken law, death itself. His was no ordinary death. It was a substitutionary and atoning death. Hebrews 9 and verse 26 draws our attention to it. The verse says, "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." The verse 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." Yes, on that cruel cross, the Son of God gave himself as an offering for our sins, bearing shame and scoffing rude. "In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood." Hallelujah! What a Savior! When Christ cried, "It is finished," when his blood was shed, when he died, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51 tells us that, "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Earthquakes are associated with the crucifixion of the Lord. And this earthquake was heaven's testimony, heaven's seal of approval of the perfect sacrifice. It testified to God's approval of all that had been wrought for our soul's salvation. And such was the impact of the centurion and those with him, trembling with conviction of sin, in verse 54 of Matthew chapter 27, they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done. They feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." They made this tremendous confession. "Truly, this was the Son of God." What power there is in the gospel. Oh, we can see it here. Even some of those whose wicked hands had taken and slain the Son of God. Even some of those whose hands had driven the nails into our Savior's hands and feet and had pierced his side. Even some of those were saved at Calvary. Oh, the gospel is the power unto salvation to everyone that believes. There is power in Christ's gospel to deal with our sin. You might consider yourself to be a great sinner. And so you are. We're all great sinners in the sight of God. But I preach to you a great Savior, one who is able and willing to save all who will come unto God by him. Earthquakes are associated with the revelation of the Lord at Sinai. They are associated with the crucifixion of the Lord at Calvary. Thirdly, earthquakes are associated with the resurrection of the Lord. When the body of Christ was laid in Joseph's new tomb, Pilate gave these words of instruction in Matthew chapter 27, verses 64 and 5. The Pharisees and the chief priests said to Pilate in verse 64, Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, and make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Oh, the stone was put securely over the entrance to the tomb. It was carefully sealed. The guard was organized to make sure that none of the disciples would remove the body under cover of darkness. All of those efforts of our Lord's enemies to keep him in the tomb were in vain. It was impossible that the Lord should be held in the clutches of death. Having paid the price of sin, having finished the work of our redemption, he arose. Hallelujah! Christ arose! Before ever the angel rolled away the stone, the Lord had risen. In Matthew chapter 28, we read about the woman, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, how they came to see the sepulchre. And verse 2 of Matthew chapter 28, look at it. It says, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. A great earthquake. This earthquake, it drew attention to the empty tomb, to the risen Lord. And we preach to you a living Savior. The only one who can save you from your sins. He's not helpless in the hands of Mary. He's highly exalted to the Father's right hand, a Prince and Savior. Is he your Savior? Oh, if not, come to him now, for behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Then, in the fourth place, we can say that earthquakes are associated with the coronation of the Lord. There is an earthquake yet to come. Its precise nature, location, and time, the information of all of this is found in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. His feet, that is our Lord's feet, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. The prophet Zechariah is clearly referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see from this fourth verse that the location is the Mount of Olives. And keep in mind what the angel said at the Lord's ascension in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The Lord ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives, and he will return in power and great glory. And there will be a tremendous earthquake, Zechariah tells us, causing the Mount of Olives to divide asunder, one half to the north and the other to the south. When the Lord comes, he will shake the earth and the heavens that are nigh. The world that so many considers to be terra firma, firm ground, it will tremble at our Lord's appearing. The psalmist, he speaks of the earth being removed, the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roaring and being troubled, and the mountains shaking with the swelling thereof. Oh, flee to the unshakable refuge of the soul. Build for eternity, not on what man considers terra firma, an abiding, unchangeable world. Build for eternity on that foundation which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. Christ, his gospel, is that sure foundation. May you today be able to say, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on me. Are you in Christ? Is Christ in your heart as your Redeemer, your Lord, and your God? Is it well with your soul? Have you fled for refuge to that gospel hope that is laid before us in Christ Jesus? Oh, if not, make haste to the Savior, and may you today go on your way rejoicing, knowing that you are in Christ, and that is well with your soul.